Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hello, this is Carol Topp from homeschoolcpa.com, back with another episode of the Dollars and Cents Show. I have been talking to homeschool group leaders for many episodes now, since that's a lot of what my work is over at my website, homeschoolcpa.com. And in this episode, I want to talk about the duties that your board or your leadership team has when they're running a homeschool group. There is a wonderful document that I found at the Ohio Attorney General's website. It's called a Guide for Charity Board Members. Now, maybe your state has something similar, has some information on what charities in the state should be doing, but this one from Ohio, I live in Ohio, so that's how I found it, I just thought was excellent. It's a list of what are the duties of board members. So I'm going to share this with you in today's podcast. This information is also shared in my board manual template. I recently released something called a Homeschool Organization Board Manual, and it's an ebook only. It's not a written book, that is a template for how you can create your own board manual. And part of the board manual should be a description of who's on the board and what their duties are. So this is a verbal description. You can get the written description in that board manual, which I think, and I've heard from many people that they've found it very helpful in organizing their board or their leadership team or whatever you call the group of folks running your homeschool organization. So let's get started. There are four duties that all board members have. And the first duty is really the duty of care. And that means that you care for the organization. You care for this organization the same way you would take care of your own personal affairs. And so that means that you obviously attend board meetings, or if you're on a committee, you attend the committee meetings. You be informed. You participate in decision making. You have a vote, and if you have a question, you ask it. That's the duty of care. And really, it ultimately means that you read and you understand the organization's mission, their vision, and you've read some of their governing documents like bylaws. Now, if your organization doesn't really have a mission statement or a vision statement, then maybe you should create one. You know, who we are and what do we do? That helps you focus and helps you evaluate if you're staying on track with your mission and vision. And again, in that board manual that I mentioned earlier, I have examples and information to help you organize and write your mission statement. So that's simple. Those things, that's really an important duty, but the duty to care for this organization like you would take care of your own affairs, attend board meetings, participate, and read and understand the mission statement. Next comes a very important duty that some organizations overlook, and that is the duty of loyalty. That means board members are prepared to put the organization before their own personal interests. And how that flushes itself out is maybe a couple things. Maybe you should have what's called a conflict of interest policy, meaning when there's a conflict of interest, meaning a board member could somehow benefit, you know, financially from some decisions being made by the board, that she announces that, you know, oh, I've got a financial interest going here, and she steps away and is not involved in the discussion and not involved in the vote. I have sample conflict of interest policies on my website, homeschoolcpa.com/samples, and you can see two rather simple examples of a conflict of interest policy. And of course, having the policy isn't as important as actually doing what, avoiding conflicts of interest. Conflicts of interest, again, are when there's some personal financial interest that your board member has in the decisions being made. And here's a classic example. Say your board members are all talking and you're talking about how they all work so hard doing volunteer work for this organization. By golly, they should get a discount on the fees that are charged. And they all agree. And so they tell the treasurer, don't charge us the fees, we're board members. Whoa, that's a conflict of interest, because a board cannot vote themselves benefits or vote themselves a discount. That's a conflict of interest. They have a personal interest, financial interest in this decision to give a discount to board members, so they can't do it. See, what's going on here is there's a conflict in their duty of loyalty. Who are they most loyal to, the organization or themselves, because now they're getting a discount or even maybe getting paid? And so probably the best way to do that would be to put it to a vote of the membership, or have a separate compensation committee that evaluates what board members should be given in the terms of discounts. So that's duty of loyalty. Always put the loyalty of the organization before your own personal interests. The third duty, after duty of care and duty of loyalty, is the duty of management. And this means, you manage the organization well, but there are some very specific things to do here. One is to develop the policies that ensure that you're handling the money properly. And I've got a list of best financial practices. It's a checklist. You can find that checklist in my book, Money Management in a Homeschool Organization. It's in the chapter on how to prevent fraud. But it's just a checklist and just some basic things like, hey, you know, reconcile the checking account, and the checking account should be reconciled by someone other than the treasurer. Things like that. So just good policies that mean you are managing the finances of this organization well. Obviously, you should keep accurate and complete records of the finances. That's the treasurer's job, but it's also the whole board's job to hold the treasurer accountable, to say, where are the financial statements? And also keeping accurate and complete minutes. That's the secretary's job, but every board member should say, hey, secretary, where's the minutes from the last meeting? I missed it, or I want to make sure, I remember what was discussed. So it is the whole board's job to keep the treasurer and the secretary accountable for their duties of management. The whole board, with obviously the treasurer leading it, should develop a budget and approve the budget and ask for updates on the budget. Again, my book on money management in a homeschool organization has sample budgets. It can help you do that and understand that. And then finally, one other duty of management would be setting fundraising goals and kind of observing how your fundraising is going. And a lot of times fundraisers are maybe delegated to a committee. That's kind of a nice thing for a committee to do, have someone who's the box tops for education lady or someone else who runs a fundraiser. It doesn't have to be the board is what I'm trying to say, but the board definitely should monitor how the fundraising's going. Is it making a profit? You want it to. Is it taking too much time away from the organization's real purpose or not? But that's the duty of management. And it's really, as you can see, mostly oversight of the financial management. And since I'm a CPA, that's near and dear to my heart. Okay, so I already discussed the duty of care, the duty of loyalty, the duty of management, and the final duty that board members have is the duty of compliance. And this is what I help groups do a lot. Compliance means to understand and comply with all the government laws that are out there. And again, that's what my blog posts, this podcast, and my books are all helping you do: understand and comply with government rules regarding nonprofits and regarding your tax exempt status and how to maintain it, how to get it, how to maintain it. But you should also be familiar with your own internal document about how your organization is governed, and that's called bylaws. And if you don't have bylaws, then start with the sample on my website over at homeschoolcpa.com/samples. Start with that. It's a Word document, so you can easily alter it. But you can tweak it to make it unique for your organization. But those bylaws are like the internal document of how your organization is run. And your board should be familiar with it. You should pull it out at least once a year, read through it, see if it needs updating. Pay attention to it. In other words, that's compliance. Also, like I already referred to, there are some government rules and regulations you have to follow and comply with, not just the IRS, but your state. Your state may have some rules regarding nonprofits. And then you can find information probably on the state's website. You got to maybe tool around a little bit, but start with your Secretary of State or your attorney general. Their websites usually have information for charities about what is required to register in the state. Is there any annual reporting and things like that? If you're not sure, that is one way. If you're not sure what your state requires, that is one way I help homeschool organizations. I do research because I've looked at lots of state websites. I understand what the states typically require of charities. I write a letter saying, hey, here is what your state requires from you, you know, for sales tax exemption, or if you're soliciting donations, or if you're having fundraisers, or all these different kinds of Department of Revenue, if you don't want to pay them taxes and stuff like that. So contact me, Carol Top at homeschoolcpa.com, over on my website. Drop me an email and I can help you understand what your state requirements are, as well as the IRS, so that you know your board is fulfilling the duty of compliance. So I hope that was helpful, that it was kind of broad and it's not terribly specific about the job descriptions of each board member, but that's a little different. These are the board duties, what every board member, really of any nonprofit, but in particular I focus on homeschool groups, that they need, they have this what's called a fiduciary duty, meaning a legal duty of care, of loyalty to the group above their own selves and personal interests, a duty of management, and ultimately a duty of compliance. And I try as much as possible to help you recognize when you're having conflicts in those duties, especially in that duty of loyalty, or help you with the duty of management and the duty of compliance. So, hey, if you haven't already, check out homeschoolcpa.com. Lots of stuff over there to help you run your homeschool organization better, because you guys are running great organizations. Some of them maybe need to be run a little bit better, but if you're running a great organization, that means you are helping families to homeschool their students and raise great people. And that's what we ultimately want, our children to be raised to be great citizens, you know, and great people serving the next generation well. So I hope this has been helpful. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Top here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.